I here present to my readers an allegory illustrative of the law of divine mind and of the supposed laws of matter and hygiene, an allegory in which the plea of Christian Science heals the sick. Suppose a mental case to be on trial as cases are tried in court. A man is charged with having committed liver complaint. The patient feels ill, ruminates, and the trial commences. Personal sense is the plaintiff. Mortal man is the defendant. False belief is the attorney for personal sense. Mortal minds, materia medica, anatomy, physiology, hypnotism, envy, greed, and ingratitude constitute the jury. The courtroom is filled with interested spectators, and Judge Medicine is on the bench. The evidence for the prosecution being called for, a witness testifies thus. I represent health laws. I was present on certain nights when the prisoner or patient watched with a sick friend. Although I have the superintendence of human affairs, I was personally abused on those occasions. I was told that I must remain silent until called for at this trial, when I would be allowed to testify in the case. Notwithstanding my rules to the contrary, the prisoner watched with the sick every night in the week. When the sick mortal was thirsty, the prisoner gave him drink. During all this time, the prisoner attended to his daily labors, partaking of food at irregular intervals, sometimes going to sleep immediately after a heavy meal. At last he committed liver complaint, which I considered criminal, inasmuch as this offense is deemed punishable with death. Therefore, I arrested mortal man in behalf of the state, namely the body, and cast him into prison. At the time of the arrest, the prisoner summoned physiology, materia medica, and hypnotism to prevent his punishment. The struggle on their part was long. Materia medica held out the longest, but at length all these assistants resigned to me health laws, and I succeeded in getting mortal man into close confinement until I should release him. The next witness is called. I am coated tongue. I am covered with a foul fur placed on me the night of the liver attack. Morbid secretion hypnotized the prisoner and took control of his mind, making him despondent. Another witness takes the stand and testifies. I am sallow skin. I have been dry, hot, and chilled by turns since the night of the liver attack. I have lost my healthy hue and become unsightly, although nothing on my part has occasioned this change. I practice daily ablutions and perform my functions as usual, but I am robbed of my good looks. The next witness testifies, I am Nerve, the state commissioner for mortal man. I am intimately acquainted with the plaintiff, personal sense, and know him to be truthful and upright, whereas mortal man, the prisoner at the bar, is capable of falsehood. I was witness to the crime of liver complaint. I knew the prisoner would commit it, for I convey messages from my residence in matter, alias brain, to body. Another witness is called for by the court of error and says, I am mortality, governor of the province of body in which mortal man resides. In this province there is a statute regarding disease, namely that he upon whose person disease is found shall be treated as a criminal and punished with death. The judge asks if by doing good to his neighbor it is possible for man to become diseased, transgress the laws, and merit punishment. And Governor Mortality replies in the affirmative. Another witness takes the stand and testifies, "I am Death. I was called for shortly after the report of the crime by the officer of the Board of Health, who protested that the prisoner had abused him, and that my presence was required to confirm his testimony. One of the prisoner's friends, Materia Medica, was present when I arrived, endeavoring to assist the prisoner to escape from the hands of justice, alias nature's so-called law. But my appearance with a message from the Board of Health changed the purpose of Materia Medica, and he decided at once that the prisoner should die." The testimony for the plaintiff, personal sense, being closed, Judge Medicine arises and with great solemnity addresses the jury of mortal minds. He analyzes the offense, reviews the testimony, and explains the law relating to liver complaint. His conclusion is that laws of nature render disease homicidal. In compliance with a stern duty, His Honor Judge Medicine urges the jury not to allow their judgment to be warped by the irrational, unchristian suggestions of Christian Science. The jury must regard in such cases only the evidence of personal sense against mortal man. As the judge proceeds, the prisoner grows restless. His sallow face blanches with fear, and a look of despair and death settles upon it. The case is given to the jury, a brief consultation ensues, and the jury returns a verdict of guilty of liver complaint in the first degree. Judge Medicine then proceeds to pronounce the solemn sentence of death upon the prisoner. Because he has loved his neighbor as himself, mortal man has been guilty of benevolence in the first degree, and this has led him into the commission of the second crime, liver complaint, which material laws condemn as homicide. For this crime, mortal man is sentenced to be tortured until he is dead. May God have mercy on your soul, is the judge's solemn peroration. The prisoner is then remanded to his cell, sickbed, and scholastic theology is sent for to prepare the frightened sense of life, God, which sense must be immortal, for death. Ah, but Christ, truth, the spirit of life, and the friend of mortal man, can open wide those prison doors and set the captive free. Swift on the wings of divine love, there comes a dispatch. Delay the execution. The prisoner is not guilty. Consternation fills the prison yard. Some exclaim, "It is contrary to law and justice." Others say, "The law of Christ supersedes our laws. Let us follow Christ." After much debate and opposition, permission is obtained for a trial in the Court of Spirit, where Christian Science is allowed to appear as counsel for the unfortunate prisoner. Witnesses, judges, and jurors who were at the previous court of error are now summoned to appear before the bar of justice and eternal truth. When the case for mortal man versus personal sense is opened, Mortal man's counsel regards the prisoner with the utmost tenderness. The counsel's earnest, solemn eyes, kindling with hope and triumph, look upward. Then Christian Science turns suddenly to the Supreme Tribunal and opens the argument for the defense. The prisoner at the bar has been unjustly sentenced. His trial was a tragedy and is morally illegal. Mortal man has had no proper counsel in the case. All the testimony has been on the side of personal sense. And we shall unearth this foul conspiracy against the liberty and life of man. The only valid testimony in the case shows the alleged crime never to have been committed. The prisoner is not proved worthy of death or of bonds. Your Honor, the lower court has sentenced mortal man to die. But God made man immortal and amenable to spirit only. Denying justice to the body, that court commended man's immortal spirit to heavenly mercy, spirit which is God himself and man's only lawgiver. Who or what has sinned? Has the body or has mortal mind committed a criminal deed? Counselor False Belief has argued that the body should die, while reverent theology would console conscious mortal mind, which alone is capable of sin and suffering. The body committed no offense. Mortal man, in obedience to higher law, helped his fellow man, an act which should result in good to himself as well as to others. The law of our Supreme Court decrees that whosoever sinneth shall die. But good deeds are immortal, bringing joy instead of grief, pleasure instead of pain, and life instead of death. If liver complaint was committed by trampling on laws of health, this was a good deed, for the agent of those laws is an outlaw, a destroyer of mortal man's liberty and rights. Laws of health should be sentenced to die. Watching beside the couch of pain in the exercise of a love that is the fulfilling of the law, doing unto others as ye would that they should do unto you, this is no infringement of law, for no demand, human or divine, renders it just to punish a man for acting justly. If mortals sin, our supreme judge in equity decides what penalty is due for the sin, and mortal man can suffer only for his sin. For not else can he be punished, according to the law of spirit, God. Then what jurisdiction had his honor, Judge Medicine, in this case? To him I might say, in Bible language, sittest thou to judge after the law, and commandest to be smitten contrary to the law? The only jurisdiction to which the prisoner can submit is that of truth, life, and love. If they condemn him not, neither shall Judge Medicine condemn him. And I ask that the prisoner be restored to the liberty of which he has been unjustly deprived. The principal witness, the officer of the health laws, deposed that he was an eyewitness to the good deeds for which mortal man is under sentence of death. After betraying him into the hands of your law, the health agent disappeared, to reappear, however, at the trial as a witness against mortal man, and in the interest of personal sense, a murderer. Your Supreme Court must find the prisoner on the night of the alleged offense to have been acting within the limits of the divine law and in obedience thereto. Upon this statute hangs all the law and testimony. Giving a cup of cold water in Christ's name is a Christian service. Laying down his life for a good deed, mortal man should find it again. Such acts bear their own justification and are under the protection of the Most High. Prior to the night of his arrest, the prisoner summoned two professed friends, Materia Medica and Physiology, to prevent his committing liver complaint and thus save him from arrest. But they brought with them Fear, the sheriff, to precipitate the result which they were called to prevent. It was Fear who handcuffed mortal man and would now punish him. You have left mortal man no alternative. He must obey your law, fear its consequences, and be punished for his fear. His friends struggled hard to rescue the prisoner from the penalty they considered justly due, but they were compelled to let him be taken into custody, tried, and condemned. Thereupon, Judge Medicine sat in judgment on the case and substantially charged the jury, 12 mortal minds, to find the prisoner guilty. His honor sentenced mortal man to die for the very deeds which the divine law compels man to commit. Thus, the court of error construed obedience to the law of divine love as disobedience to the law of life. Claiming to protect mortal man in right doing, that court pronounced a sentence of death for doing right. One of the principal witnesses, Nerve, testified that he was a ruler of body in which province mortal man resides. He also testified that he was on intimate terms with the plaintiff and knew personal sense to be truthful. That he knew man and that man was made in the image of God, but was a criminal. This is a foul aspersion on man's maker. It blots the fair escutcheon of omnipotence. It indicates malice aforethought, a determination to condemn man in the interest of personal sense. At the bar of truth, in the presence of divine justice, before the judge of our higher tribunal, the Supreme Court of Spirit, and before its jurors, the spiritual senses, I proclaim this witness, Nerve, to be destitute of intelligence and truth, and to be a false witness. Man self-destroyed, the testimony of matter respected, spirit not allowed a hearing, soul a criminal though recommended to mercy, the helpless innocent body tortured. These are the terrible records of your court of error, and I ask that the Supreme Court of Spirit reverse this decision. Here the opposing counsel, False Belief, called Christian Science to order for contempt of court. Various notables, Materia Medica, Anatomy, Physiology, Scholastic Theology, and Jurisprudence, rose to the question of expelling Christian Science from the bar for such high-handed illegality. They declared that Christian Science was overthrowing the judicial proceedings of a regularly constituted court. But Judge Justice of the Supreme Court of Spirit overruled their motions on the ground that unjust usages were not allowed at the bar of truth, which ranks above the lower court of error. The attorney, Christian Science, then read from the Supreme Statute Book, the Bible, certain extracts on the rights of man, remarking that the Bible was better authority than Blackstone. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then Christian Science proved the witness Nerve to be a perjurer. Instead of being a ruler in the province of body, in which mortal man was reported to reside, Nerve was an insubordinate citizen, putting in false claims to office and bearing false witness against man. Turning suddenly to personal sense, by this time silent, Christian Science continued, I ask your arrest in the name of Almighty God on three distinct charges of crime, to wit, perjury, treason, and conspiracy against the rights and life of man. Then Christian Science continued, another witness, equally inadequate, said that on the night of the crime, a garment of foul fur was spread over him by morbid secretion, while the facts in the case show that this fur is a foreign substance imported by false belief. The attorney for personal sense, who is in partnership with error and smuggles error's goods into market without the inspection of Seoul's government officers. When the court of truth summoned Furred Tongue for examination, he disappeared and was never heard of more. Morbid secretion is not an importer or dealer in fur. But we have heard Materia Medica explain how this fur is manufactured, and we know morbid secretion to be on friendly terms with the firm of Personal Sense, Error, and Company, receiving pay from them and introducing their goods into the market. Also be it known that false belief, the counsel for the plaintiff, Personal Sense, is a buyer for this firm. He manufactures for it, keeps a furnishing store, and advertises largely for his employers. Death testified that he was absent from the province of body when a message came from false belief commanding him to take part in the homicide. At this request, Death repaired to the spot where the liver complaint was in process, frightening away Materia Medica, who was then manacling the prisoner in the attempt to save him. True, Materia Medica was a misguided participant in the misdeed for which the health officer had mortal man in custody, though mortal man was innocent. Christian Science turned from the abashed witnesses, his words flashing as lightning in the perturbed faces of these worthies, scholastic theology, materia medica, physiology, the blind hypnotism, and the masked personal sense, and said, God will smite you, O whited walls, for injuring in your ignorance the unfortunate mortal man who sought your aid in his struggles against liver complaint and death. You came to his rescue only to fasten upon him an offense of which he was innocent. You aided and abetted fear and health laws. You betrayed mortal man, meanwhile declaring disease to be God's servant and the righteous executor of his laws. Our higher statutes declare you all, witnesses, jurors, and judges, to be offenders, awaiting the sentence which general progress and divine love will pronounce. We send our best detectives to whatever locality is reported to be haunted by disease, but on visiting the spot, they learn that disease was never there, for he could not possibly elude their search. your material court of errors, when it condemned mortal man on the ground of hygienic disobedience, was manipulated by the oleaginous machinations of the council false belief, whom truth arraigns before the supreme bar of spirit to answer for his crime. Morbid secretion is taught how to make sleep befool reason before sacrificing mortals to their false gods. Mortal minds were deceived by your attorney, false belief, and were influenced to give a verdict delivering mortal man to death. Good deeds are transformed into crimes to which you attach penalties. But no warping of justice can render disobedience to the so-called laws of matter disobedience to God, or an act of homicide. Even penal law holds homicide under stress of circumstances to be justifiable. Now, what greater justification can any deed have than that it is for the good of one's neighbor? Wherefore, then, in the name of outraged justice, do you sentence mortal man for ministering to the wants of his fellow man in obedience to divine law? You cannot trample upon the decree of the supreme bench. Mortal man has his appeal to Spirit God, who sentences only for sin. The false and unjust beliefs of your human mental legislators compel them to enact wicked laws of sickness and so forth, and then render obedience to these laws punishable as crime. In the presence of the supreme lawgiver, standing at the bar of truth, and in accordance with the divine statutes, I repudiate the false testimony of personal sense. I ask that he be forbidden to enter against mortal man any more suits to be tried at the court of material error. I appeal to the just and equitable decisions of divine spirit to restore to mortal man the rights of which he has been deprived. Here the counsel for the defense closed, and the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, with benign and imposing presence, comprehending and defining all law and evidence, explained from his statute book, the Bible, that any so-called law which undertakes to punish aught but sin is null and void. He also decided that the plaintiff, personal sense, be not permitted to enter any suits at the bar of soul, but be enjoined to keep perpetual silence, and in case of temptation, to give heavy bonds for good behavior. He concluded his charge thus: the plea of false belief we deem unworthy of a hearing. Let what false belief utters now and forever fall into oblivion, unknelled, uncoffined, and unknown. According to our statute, material law is a liar who cannot bear witness against mortal man, neither can fear arrest mortal man, nor can disease cast him into prison. Our law refuses to recognize man as sick or dying, but holds him to be forever in the image and likeness of his Maker. Reversing the testimony of personal sense and the decrees of the court of error in favor of matter, Spirit decides in favor of man and against matter. We further recommend that Materia Medica adopt Christian Science, and that health laws, mesmerism, hypnotism, oriental witchcraft, and esoteric magic be publicly executed at the hands of our sheriff, Progress. the Supreme Bench decides in favor of intelligence, that no law outside of divine mind can punish or reward mortal man. Your personal jurors in the court of error are myths. Your attorney, false belief, is an impostor, persuading mortal minds to return a verdict contrary to law and gospel. The plaintiff, personal sense, is recorded in our book of books as a liar. Our great teacher of mental jurisprudence speaks of him also as a murderer from the beginning. We have no trials for sickness before the tribunal of divine spirit. There, man is adjudged innocent of transgressing physical laws, because there are no such laws. Our statute is spiritual. Our government is divine. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? The jury of spiritual senses agreed at once upon a verdict, and there resounded throughout the vast audience chamber of spirit the cry, "Not guilty." Then the prisoner rose up regenerated, strong, free. We noticed, as he shook hands with his counsel, Christian Science, that all sallowness and debility had disappeared. His form was erect and commanding, his countenance beaming with health and happiness. Divine love had cast out fear. Mortal man, no longer sick and in prison, walked forth, his feet beautiful upon the mountains, as of one that bringeth good tidings. Neither animal magnetism nor hypnotism enters into the practice of Christian Science, in which truth cannot be reversed, but the reverse of error is true. An improved belief cannot retrograde. When Christ changes a belief of sin or of sickness into a better belief, then belief melts into spiritual understanding, and sin, disease, and death disappear. Christ's truth gives mortals temporary food and clothing until the material, transformed with the ideal, disappears and man is clothed and fed spiritually. St. Paul says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." This truth is Christian Science. Christian scientists, be a law to yourselves that mental malpractice cannot harm you, either when asleep or when awake.